Let's get ready to go, because this is the Chet Show! And it's gonna be fun.
Oh, hang on, I'm making a recording.
On the train headed back to Indiana.
I like how you say that.
With a little cynicism, like, it may or may not be for you. I'm gonna have a blast.
This is the beginning of a brand new Chad Matthew podcast. I know a lot of you have not heard me talk with so much passion before.
It's the beginning of a beautiful thing.
It's going to be an amazing friendship. It will. You're going to love me. Let's go. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, and if it's good night, hello. Little Truman Show there. It is a bit like the Truman Show, isn't it? You know, kind of sharing all your details. I'm getting better at it, aren't I? I think I'm a very easy sharer, but I've been getting overwhelmed, which is so amazing. I'm so glad that this process has been as rewarding to share as content as it has been for my soul. I'm so appreciative, and you know, to all the feedback that I've been getting, again, even more so appreciative, because when I started to think about this show, I was definitely adamant about, you know, sharing personal stuff, and I was like, oh, you know, how do I talk about other people? And it's like not the most positive stuff, but it's like the most constructive stuff. But it is positive because we are where we are today. And if nothing changed, nothing changed, but everything changed, and that's a positive. So here we are. Change, blossoming, and metaphoring? No, what's that word? What's that word when you flutter into a butterfly? Can't even think of the word. Metamorphosis? No. Is that it? Metamorphosis? Yeah, something like that. Well, I want to talk about coming out. I wanted to talk about my metamorphosis. I don't know if that's the word, okay, so don't hold me to it. I won't cut that out, but it's like, yeah, I changed from a unknown to all knowing of my sexual preference. And it was a very difficult time. And I think that it's always a conversation for the table. Like, not just because it's a good conversation to have. I mean, it's a part of someone's life. And it's unfortunate that everyone does feel that they still need to announce that they're coming out of the closet. It's like, oh, just so you know. Yeah, it's quite an interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, I don't know how many people are listening right now who have come out in any which way, really. You know, gay, lesbian, bi, you know, LG. Oh God, it's the curriculum is so long now, it's crazy. My experience coming out was not very difficult at all, actually, because I think what happened for me was when I kind of created those relationships and those environments, like coming into, like, say, 2010, where I was, you know, looked after by social workers and getting housed and coming off drugs and, you know, coming out of the family environment. And I still do remember, actually, I'm having a memory. God, I didn't plan for this. This is just coming out of my mouth. I actually have a memory of my stepmom, my stepmom, who I used to work with, as I said, at 4 a.m. and used to go work in the bakery. And I remember her crying because she came up and she's like, you know, Chad, and I don't remember how this conversation happened. I must have been about 14. And she's like, Chad, are you gay? And I said, and I don't know why we're having a heated conversation, but I ended up saying, yes, I am. And she burst into tears and ran away. And then the thing was that I didn't realize at the time, and I found it easy to say that I was gay. I actually, I actually had so many things happening throughout my life that the optimism had conquered the fear of, well, what's going to happen next is just going to happen. But I never realized that she burst into tears not because I was gay, but because she was actually scared for me. Because this was the early 90s, you know, HIV and AIDS was such a huge thing. I mean, people were only dying in, like, you know, when I was born in the 80s, 82, people were starting to die. Like, it was diagnosed, it was this huge thing. And I didn't realize that she wasn't asking me if I was gay. She was actually worried if I was going to be bullied, die prematurely, or just not be able to be happy because the world didn't allow gay people to be themselves. And I think that's what a lot of fear is sometimes still today. And we're on the cusp now where, you know, it's recognized gay marriage and all this sort of stuff, and it's fabulous. I mean, I've been married to a man. I've had a relationship with a woman, even though I was gay. Crazy. And, you know, and I've had five amazing relationships that I lived with and had functional, wonderful romance with, and traveling the world and doing all sorts of things. And I remember having that conversation with her just now. And I was actually going to go somewhere else with this story, but now we're actually in the world of reality. I remember not understanding why she was so sad. Years and years later, you know, we had this conversation because, you know, nothing kind of happened. You know, I remember at the time my father had said to me, I was sitting on the lounge in my house, and I was dressed in a white Bonds shirt and jeans with black shoes and a belt. Totally gay 80s. Like, I'd somehow you know, found a way to gay up myself to because I knew where I wanted to be, right? And I knew that I wanted to stick out into the crowd because, you know, I just wanted relationships and I wanted to be out. I wanted to be loved. You know, I wanted to find love straight away. So I got the gear. I put on the clothes. I was all about, you know, being straight. I didn't care if I died or got bashed or whatever. I was like, I want love. I want love first, death second. It's fine. I just want love. And I remember my father sitting there and he goes, you know, oh, he looks like a faggot. And later on in life, right, I'm just going to jump forward just so you don't take that too personally, that it was a negative thing. You know, my father was actually very supportive, but he grew up in a homophobic kind of life. And when I mean homophobic, it was just like not understood. And it's a scary place because, again, you could die prematurely. You can be bashed. You can have a horrible life. And for a man of few words, which he was, looks like a faggot. he was actually saying in his own way, you know, that scares me. Because he never got up and walked away. And I was frightened. Like I didn't like what was going on. But if I look back at it now, he never got up and walked away. He never, like, you know, and there's so many people who do get that. And I'm so, so sorry for you if you've ever had to experience somebody's fear so overwhelming that they don't feel they can accept what you're telling them, who you are, because that should never change who you are. And I hope that that hasn't, or that it won't, because there are, and there is, a huge community of love and acceptance waiting. And years later, let's just move forward from that deep moment. Years and years later, you know, he started telling everybody, I have a gay son. And it was his way of dealing with it, right? He'd be like, oh, I got a gay son. So I was the gay son now. I wasn't Chad. I was the gay son. So then no one had it over. He was all about, you know, like I said, brute strength, you know, not lack of confidence. It's like, I need to dominate to have confidence. And that is the opposite of confidence. And that's what I want to share about coming out today. Confidence is not about brute strength, and confidence is not about domination. Confidence is about accepting who you are, what you want, and what you want others to know and hear and see, like a job interview. When you get to a job interview, you want them to hear and see you. And coming out is basically, unfortunately, a moment in time that does need confidence. And I just wanted to give maybe some love and some words and a bit of conversation that could be helpful. And when you don't know what something's going to be like, we will tend to try to think of that and picture and construct a vision. How the conversation's going to go, what your first love life's going to be like, what your first time having sex might be like. And you're going to draw from all the experiences that you've heard and seen to try and create your version before it's happened. And this is where the confidence part needs to play out without the brute strength and having to control it. Because you can't, you won't be able to. And being disheartened and having those moments will always be there forever. And it will go good or bad. I don't have those answers. I don't know. But what I do know is that there is a community of millions of people around the world who have very happy lives and very, very successful lives. And very, very loving lives that are there for you. Now, I've been observing lately a lot of attitude in the gay community of people who are out and who are actually seem to be not dealing very well with being gay and being able to find a way to not be in control. And allow their emotions to picture love again, to picture what all that scary stuff might look like without picturing it. Does that make sense to you guys? Like we picture what we want before we go for it. We do that. We always picture what we want before we go. You know, it's very rare, you know, that you will actually come across something that you really like. Say, for instance, you walk past a shop window that you were never going to go in and it catches your eye because you were fortunate enough to see it. And then you walk out of there and you're so happy because you either bought it or you're not that happy because you didn't and you took a chance. And not one part of you was in control that day, right? No part of you was in control. You just were walking down the street and you happened to see something and allow life to give you something that you didn't know that you wanted. Coming out can be just as easy or just as constructive as that. And when I say easy, I don't mean for the situation. I mean for the process. It's not just a couple of words. That's the hardest part. The hardest part is it's not I'm gay. The hardest part is accepting what you're saying and saying, I'm different, but I don't want to be different. And you shouldn't feel like that. You're not different because of what you do in your own room. And I think that's what the scariest part about coming out is. I know for me, I had an easy coming out because I just didn't care at this point. Like I was on drugs. I was like, I just, you know, had no parental guidance that I was really kind of listening to. And I was running around Sydney town into all these environments with older guys and drugs and all sorts of things that, you know, I just assumed that, well, whatever happens, c'est la vie, you know, and that is not the best way of doing things. And that's why I'm sharing my story. Because when I say it was easy, it wasn't in the future to be that easy, to be so, I don't need to care. I don't need to worry. No, you don't need to worry about who you are, but you need to allow yourself to be open to who you're becoming and who you want to become. And you need to allow yourself to be open to who you're becoming and who is yourself. It's not, there is no right or wrong way of doing it. I remember going to school and, see, I didn't know that I was gay. Like, okay, let's go back a little bit further than when I came out. So I was a screaming queen, very, very, very young. And I remember one of my teachers who is also a lesbian, who I ended up becoming friends with her after the school because I was friends with her niece and everything. And she remembers me arriving at one of these, the Joseph Vargas school, the one I've spoke about before, the school where, you know, it was a private school where people had, you know, ADHD or they had other problems or issues or just weren't going to mainstream schools. Not so much heavy issues or problems, just people that needed a smaller confined room and less students. And she remembers that I rocked up in a feather or fur coat and a feathered hat or something. And she said, "Oh, you look well," or something. And I told her, "Yes, I look fabulous." And I remember she's telling me these stories and they're coming to me now. It's coming to me now as I have this conversation. And that was the most welcoming thing. And she actually allowed me to develop. And we're talking now. So I'm probably 10 or 11. And so I guess now that I'm looking back on it, she actually had a hand, I think, in allowing me to be myself. And when I went home, obviously I was somebody else until I came out. And I guess this whole conversation and circle has got a few different beginnings and ends. And it's a safe space where you should be. Wherever you are is where you're at. You don't know any more than what you do. But you'll always learn more, you'll always develop, you'll always grow, and you'll always become better. There is no wrong or right way trying to be the person you want to become. It's probably the worst thing you can do is try to be who you want to become. Picture who you want to become. You can't be your future self, you know, and taking a chance is probably the hardest thing, but the most rewarding thing that you can do in a situation where you have no control over how it's heard. Like now, I'm sharing with you so many different things about so much that could go any way about anything that I say and can be taken any which way that I say it. But I want people to know that what I'm saying is real. I want to know that what I'm saying is really valuable to hearing it, to remembering it, to acknowledging it. I feel that every time that you grow and every time that you move forward in life, it's because you took a chance. It's because you made it a mission, or you decided to jump the obstacle. And the thing that I wanted to share the most today, more than anything, is coming out doesn't have to be as scary as it is. Coming out doesn't have to be as lonely as it seems. And coming out shouldn't define who you are. You're a person. You're not a gay person. You're not a lesbian person. You're not a bi person. You're just a person. You're a person. These stigmas and these labels and all these things, you know, this whole conversation I'm having, I'm trying to put into words so we can talk about each other and relate to each other. But really, down to the point, you're a person and you're allowed to be that person. No one should ever be able to tell you that who you don't know you're becoming or what greatness you still have yet to discover should be defined by who you think or who you seem to be at this present moment. You know, I mean, people used to say, I'm going to be an astronaut, and, you know, they'd laugh at them, carry on. And then people did. People became astronauts. I mean, we say it all the time. We need to remember what our journey is and how we want to achieve things. And it starts with being able to be honest with yourself and honest with others around you, because the world collectively will not always be a yes, and it will not always be a no. Sometimes it'll be very, very, sometimes it won't be anything. You'll just be wondering. so many times I find myself wondering, like even now having this conversation, I'm like, oh, you know, I can hear my own thoughts kind of stopping me having a conversation, going, oh, am I saying something that's not? But it's like, no, it's relatable, because it's what I want you to hear. And it's what I want you to know. It's that you are accepted as a person. You don't even have to be gay. I'm just saying, or whatever stigma, or you just, if you're a nice person, I already love you. If you're a genuine person who's just living their life, trying to do their best, genuinely love and want to see happiness in your life and in the world, then this is the place for you. This world has so much to offer. I've seen so many different places, so many different faces, and we are all so similar. It's ridiculous. Like it's ridiculous how closed off we are, only because we're waiting for someone to go first. And that comes back again to how I started this conversation. You know, my stepmom, she never asked me about being gay. Even though she asked me, she goes, are you gay? And then burst into tears and flew away. She wasn't asking that. She was genuinely, because we worked on Oxford Street, right? That's where I first kind of got, I watched Mardi Gras and everything. And, you know, it wasn't a hush-hush thing. I worked on Oxford Street in the 90s as a teenage boy, and there was gay people there, and she worked with gay people, and her working professional life was around the gay atmosphere. You know, there was no like, this is a very new, weird, very scary place for her. But for the world of LGBTQIA+ community, it was a scary world. And she knew that for all of us. And so I guess I like to ramble and I like to talk and share. And some of these thoughts are coming to me as I speak. There are people who just can't accept it. There's some people who just can't talk about it. But then that's a conversation about them. That's not a conversation about you, because you're talking about you. And you shouldn't need your brute strength or dominance to do that. You just need the confidence. And I really want to assure you that if this is something that you want to do, that there is so many people who understand you. There are so many people who care about your happiness. Now, I'm not talking about romance. I'm not talking about, you know, people putting a ring on it and you know, walking you down the aisle and all cheering for your best life. Because that's a fairy tale, you know, like they're friends, they're other relationships, they're real defined relationships that we invest in. But as a community, there is an investment. And that's why I talk about community. Because the investment is that we all share a common theme and a common purpose. And we care about accepting ourselves, accepting what we are, accepting who we are, what we want, and where we are. You are only as far as you are now in life. You only know as much as you know right now in life. Take a chance. Take a chance on love. Take a chance on a new job. Take a chance on yourself. You are an amazing person. You might doubt that because you've created, you know, a war against wars, or you feel that too many things have happened or too many things haven't happened. But I can assure you that you're an incredible person. You got the confidence to be an incredible and amazing self-achiever. But you got to trust that you know who you are. You need to trust that what you're saying is real and what you care to share is valuable. People want to be honest. We do. We know when we're lying. Can't escape that. Can't run from that. We know when we're honest and we know when we're not. You know, the one thing that I use all the time with myself is, how much do you want this? And I choose something in my life that's relevant to now. Not my goals, not my dreams. Sometimes it's something really, really, really small. Sometimes it's really big. I say to myself, how much do you want this? Because, you know, we walk around, we go, I want that, I want that, I want that. Sometimes I just stop and I go, how much do you want this? To myself. And surely enough, I answer back, not really. Or, yes, a lot. I want this a lot. I really do. I want this job. I want this life. I want this new beginning. I want this romance. I want this love. And every time I ask myself, I do it for one reason, because I'm the only one that can facilitate it. You got to ask yourself, how much do you want it? Not who's going to care, who's not going to care, who's going to listen, who's not going to listen. You got to ask yourself, how much do you want it? And I think that if you were honest enough with yourself to give yourself the right answer, you would do amazing things in your lives. It doesn't take much when you actually believe that you can and you believe that you will. So once you instill that confidence, you don't need the brute strength and you don't need to be dominant. You don't need to put people down to put you up. You don't need to create diversions so other people fail and, you know, no one's winning. You don't need to hurt yourself like I did for 20 years. You don't need to create drama so you don't have to focus. You just have to ask, how much do you want this? How much do I want this? And whatever that answer is, you'll know, but you got to ask. It's so important. And I hope that sharing this empowerment and this motivation of conversation with yourself is helpful. You know, I love to go on all these roller coaster rides, and you can hear I'm up here and I'm down there and I'm around here. But that's what life is like. Life isn't a production of, you know, there's got to be a beginning, middle, and an end. And I think when you're honest enough, you know, like half of this story I just remembered while I was talking to you guys. And it was the most important parts of the story because I allowed myself to be open to, because I said, how much do I want this? I want it. So I unlocked those memories rather than just feeding you a story about coming out. I was able to unlock those stories because I wanted to share that with you. And because I asked myself, how much do you want to share this? And I was like, a lot. And so I relaxed and stories came. And I had my greatest influence in my relationships with family members was my uncle Jeffrey. And he was my most favorite person. Like he was basically, there was five. So five boys, my father and four others. And he was the youngest. My father was the oldest. And he actually went and got with his girlfriend, and they were together for 10 years. And he grew up as a homophobic man as well. And he actually had gone and got gay porn and watched it with Amanda, her name was. They have both passed away. I'll get to that. And he actually went and got gay porn and in the 90s and watched it so he could stop thinking about what being gay was like or what his head was telling him, so the unknown could be known without having to actually go and, you know, do it. And he actually came to me and actually had a whole conversation about caring, and I remember he gave me all the, like, this weed, and, you know, we smoked some weed, and you know, he was like my favorite uncle, you know, who would give you a beer or whatever, and you know, he just wanted to genuinely give me acceptance, and he was my most favorite person. And he did it in his own way, you know, like he went and he just went out of his way to do it. You know, he had his own trials and tribulations and problems. And, you know, I'm not saying that he endorsing drugs and alcohol on, you know, young people or whatever, but it was just a way for him to create a relationship in his own way in the 90s to be able to sit down and hear what I wanted to share with him and how I wanted to be me with him being him. And that was really special to me. That was probably one of my favorite adult open hands that ever happened to me in the beginning of my young adult life. And when I say open hands, I mean open to allowing me to express myself and be a young adult, or at least attempt to be able to converse who I wanted to say that I am and that I am becoming, and that I was a gay man, and, you know, and I understand about safe sex and, you know, and AIDS and HIV, and that I'm not looking for a death wish. I don't understand why I'm gay, but I just feel very comfortable when I'm with a man, and you know, I'm also comfortable around ladies and women, but I don't have those answers, I guess. I can go there if you like, and I will. I find a man for me just a more relatable person, that sometimes I think that it's more protective when I don't want to be at war or in battle. And then sometimes men are actually the most vulnerable people on the planet. Like, they just don't say a lot. They just take in what you're saying, and then there's no problem, or there's just it's an easy conversation, or it's a good acceptance. I mean, I have more men in my life now, straight men in my life, and they're probably the easiest people for me to converse with and talk with. I mean, I have more straight male friends than I do women or gay people in my life, actually. I find men to be very easy to converse with, and just I like the strength and vulnerability without having to be, you know, without talking about romance or sexual interest. I like when you are with a really confident and strong man, and he is just like his guard comes down. And I think, you know, and sometimes I find that happens with me personally more often than it does with a woman. I find that women don't put their guard down as quickly with me as men do. And that's just how I feel in those relationships. And I'm sexually and emotionally attracted to men as well. So I guess I'm quite fortunate that I do like men and that men like me, because that could be really messed up if that wasn't the case. So coming out, like I want to stay on track while I'm sharing all these stories. Like, you know, you can't know all these things when you come out. Like this is stuff, I'm telling you stuff back and forth because that's what life is like. There is no straight road. I can't tell you a story that's a straight road with these kind of conversations. Because if I did, I'd just be like fine-tuning it to make it a story. And that's not how life works. And I don't want you to be under any illusions when you're listening to my podcast that I'm making a story for you to waste your time on and to waste your I don't know. Hopefully not just entertainment, but value in some epiphanies that you might have. And that is so important to me through all of this and opening up. And, you know, it's not just a therapy session where I'm just sharing everything and you know, letting it all go. It is constructive and it's for the purpose of working in the community. And this is the way that I find that it works for me. And you can take whatever you like from that. Everybody has their own thing. And like I just said for you, you are valuable. You are great. You are who you are. And that needs to be obviously reciprocated back for me. So I'm being me. And I'm hoping that it's coming off really, really well. I mean, I know it's bouncing around all over the place, but it's an emotional story. God, give me a break. So Uncle Jeffrey, yeah, he was amazing. He was such an amazing person. And he had a very, very tedious few years before his untimely death where he committed suicide. And that just changed everything in our family on my father's side. You know, he was the most exciting person. He was the happiest person. He was the most honest person. And for that person to go first was a huge shock to a lot of us and to a lot of people in my family who were always too frightened to go first. You know, sometimes I think we do take a lot of courage from others. And I think that's really important. I think that we should aspire to take courage and influence from others. Other people have so much to share and other people have so much to offer. And I think that when you see, feel and know that important people are in your life, you have some more understanding and some more caring and some more better judgment, you know, on how to approach bad situations and bad conversations, like coming out, you know. I mean, my uncle who passed away, and these will all come into other conversations, you know, he had something that he had inside that was his demise that unfortunately he was unable to say. And this is a straight man who was the best and funniest and most wonderful person in the world. But because he was held back from whatever it is that he didn't share, we lost him. And that's why today's topic is so important, because who we are as people is who we are as people. We're not the same. We are similar, but we all have something to share. We all have something to offer. We all have greatness. And we all should be allowed to be who we are, so we don't lose sight of ourselves or lose people that we love. Love is very hard to find, definitely when you're searching for it from inside, let alone outside. So, whew, heavy, huh? Heavy stuff. I'm just thinking about my uncle, actually. I'm just remembering how much fun he actually, can I just take somewhere else? We actually went out one night. On I don't know. I think it was after one of my birthdays. We went to Stonewall. And he used to have long hair, and then he cut it off, and it was quite handsome when with his short hair and everything. And we went out, and obviously guys were trying to pick him up and everything. And I actually met my second partner through my uncle Jeffrey at Stonewall, and I remember it distinctly. His name is Brad. And he wrote it on the back of a VB coaster. And I think, I don't know if I still have the coaster, but I collect all these things through life. So yes, I got plenty of memorabilia. And because of that night, see, I'm actually remembering stuff as I have these conversations. It's quite wild, actually. We have such big lives, don't we? And we went out to Stonewall. I got up on stage. I think I was dancing a Britney Spears number or something. And I was wearing some ridiculous outfit that was all chopped up, you know, something out of like one of her video clips, you know, like thinking that I'm a pop star, you know, doing a dance number on a stage. And that night, I met Brad, and we ended up having over a year relationship, and he actually had set up the interaction, and I just remembered that just now, and this is the person who went and found out about me, who was scared about homosexuality, and it just goes to show that there's just so. Like, if you really dig deep, and I'm going to try and dig even deeper next time I start having conversations. Maybe I'll dig deep before I start the conversation, just so I can be a little bit more open, and rather than just kind of remembering things on the spot. But he was so wonderful, and I think what I want to kind of make whole today, and kind of thank you for listening, if you've listened so far, is how important it is to be yourself, and how important it is to allow others to be themselves. I just want to leave it there. And thank you so much for listening. And you know, I really hope this is hitting you all well. And I don't know how to speed up I know the music intro is coming, and I want to make it positive, but I don't know how to pick it back up from there, because I'm in a really, really nice memory spot now. So I'm gonna savor that, and I'm gonna see you guys soon. And remember, who you are is who you are, and who you're gonna be is not your business right now. So be happy, live life, love life, and enjoy life. See you guys.